welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station, podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRaglia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And we are the sole power, no, goal power.
Goal power.
Driving the train here. Chris, I guess with that Muzak there,
right.
We're going to have two Christmas shows.
Christmas time is here.
In the city.
Celebrate with beer. I mean, cheer.
I don't know that one.
Yeah. Oh, anyways.
Yeah, it's kind of, it'll be our unofficial pre-Christmas
show. Yeah, well, I guess we've got this one.
And the next one.
And then, no, we got two more, don't we?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, we got two. Two after this one.
Oh, right.
Two after this one. Yeah.
It'll be the 12 shows of Christmas. On the 12 shows of Christmas.
Do you ever watch the Bob and Doug McKenzie?
Of course I did.
On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a beer.
A beer. I love that
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm a little bit older, so I grew up with those novelty ones that used to come on the radio.
Oh, right,
where they
did
all the actors.
Yeah.
So it would be like the fifth day of Christmas would be Richard Burton. I gave to Liz 5 diamond rings.
right.
Four super newsmen, Walter Cronkite.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Bogart was 3 Casablancas.
Oh, of course.
And then John Wayne, 2 G.I. Joes.
Nice.
And throughout the whole song, Foster Brooks is trying to spit out a partridge in a pear tree.
I was just going
to say. It was a big bird.
A big bird. Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are here to talk comics and
not old Christmas comedians.
Songs. Yeah. So we're going to start, like we do every week, with Chris just chit-chatting about all the new comics that are hitting the local comic book shops.
Did we talk about where we're, like, podcasting all that stuff?
Yeah.
Did we? Okay, all right.
That covered a long time ago.
Okay, so do we have a sponsor for new this week?
Damn right we do. New this week is brought to you by Christmas in Killarney, where you can drink, beat on the kids.
Sorry.
No. Oh. You stole my joke there, which now it's going to sound crap.
Sorry. Yeah. Got a little
Christmas in Killarney. I'm going to do this, goddamn. I'm gosh darn it. Christmas in Killarney, where you can drink, beat on the kids, and have a merry old time.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
And Christmas in Killarney. All right. Okay, so as our long-time listeners know...
It would have been
funnier
had I got it out the first time.
I know.
Just so you know.
Sorry.
That's
my fault again. Mm-hmm. Sounds like my wife. So here we go. Every week we like to go through New This Week. And today, from Dynamite Entertainment, they're doing a sort of a crossover with DC. They're doing Wonder Woman 77 meets the Bionic Woman.
Oh, cool.
So this is, of course...
I got to see that cover.
So this is, what's her name? Lindsay Wagner and Linda Carter.
Right.
Of course, teaming up in comic book form.
Yep.
And, it's a great throwback to the 1970s, to, you know, that age of the Bionic Man and all that Bigfoot.
Right.
$6 million man.
And Bionic Woman. Wonder Woman. Two really kind of iconic female... Heroes,
yep.
TV heroes.
Absolutely. A lot of people looked up to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And fantastic. So that's kind of a cool thing. I like it.
Yeah, I like
and
it too.
It's Wonder Woman 77 and Bionic Woman from DC/Dynamite.
Dynamite! That's another 70s show.
At your local comic book shop.
Perfect. All right. Next up, we got... I got a problem, Walt.
You got a problem. Tell me all your troubles.
I don't like what Marvel's putting out these days.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of it.
You know what? Unfortunately, Chris.
What's that?
You ain't the only one.
So, you know, I don't even know where to begin with this. Slapstick, number one. So Slapstick is this comic character, never got a dinner. It's very odd because it's like what would a cartoon character was in the comic book character universe,
right?
But
like a Ziggy.
I don't know if it was that bad, but yeah, Ziggy looking up at the stars, wondering about life.
Yeah,
it's more like what if there was some sort of like, you know, I don't know, what you call it, Chuck Jones kind of character with, like, you know, mallets and strange,
like a Yosemite Sam.
Yeah, like, you know, it's like,
right, like a
Yosemite Sam,
a slash between the Joker.
Yeah,
and Yosemite Sam.
Yeah, it's like, what if Tex Avery decided to come up with their own comic book character?
My
from
goodness, yeah,
yeah. And I don't like it. I don't like it. It's it's like a nothing character.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think the problem is that Marvel sees that Deadpool, you know, was a great comedy kind of character,
uh-huh,
and they can't use all their other X-Men characters because they don't want to promote the X-Men movies.
Yeah,
they don't want to promote Fantastic Four. They're trying to. They're basically throwing anything they can at the wall and hoping.
When I'm looking at this page that you showed me, it's like I'm looking at a visual of Ryan Coke. It's these things don't go. Wait a minute, Ryan Coke go.
Ryan
together.
Coke do together.
Yeah. Ryan
and,
carrot juice. it's just these things don't go together.
Yeah, like one's okay, like, on their own.
But what I'm saying is, it's almost like there's two different media,
and that's what I think. That's the point.
I know,
but
I
don't get
work.
It. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. My point. It just it looks terrible.
No, I agree.
And so I don't know how it reads, but
probably.
Hey,
terrible.
I suggest you go down to your local comic book shop and check it out and maybe
peruse
tell
it.
Us.
Yeah,
yeah. Slapstick okay. Number one.
Okay, so now having said that, I am actually enjoying some Marvel titles.
Well, that's good. Thank
not very many.
Thank
not very many. However, I am enjoying Moon Knight by Jeff Lemire.
Oh, right.
I love this whole, you know, split personality thing.
Jeff Lemire, good friend of the show.
Yeah, good friend
he's
of the
never
show.
Been on it.
No, yeah, we'll get him on there.
We'll.
Yeah, we'll get him on one day. He's been to the show. He's been to your store, hasn't he?
He has.
Yeah, he told me never to tell you to call again.
Right.
But,
I figured that.
But, no, honestly, Jeff Lemire, great writer, and I'm loving the artwork by Greg Smallwood, Wilfredo Torres, Francesco Francavillo, and James Stokoe. Awesome artwork. I love the different styles of the artwork to match the book, the different personalities of the book.
Yeah, that's
it's
good.
A really
I like
good,
it.
Really good story.
Yeah. The, rumor has it that Smallwood had problems getting dates in high school.
Really? That's
yeah,
surprising.
That's what I heard.
I hear he's a nice guy.
Yeah, me too. Moon Knight number 9 is available at your local comic book shop.
All right. Now, here's a book. Dead Man, Dark Mansion of Forbidden Love. Now, Walt, you know I'm a fan of the old 1970s DC gothic horror comics.
That's right.
And this is a throwback to those old romantic gothic horror comics. In fact, I mean, the subtitle was the original title of the old comic, The Dark Mansion of Forbidden Love. And so now, but this one is Dead Man, so I guess they decided to throw in Dead Man on this one.
Yeah, well, because just Dark Mansion of Forbidden Love on its own.
No one would care, right?
And you notice the motif there.
Yeah, it's
because a lot of them had the oval on the covers. They had that, not necessarily a mirror like this one is, but.
But as if it was an old picture frame or something. Yeah.
Very cool.
So I do like this one a lot. This one's written by Sarah Vaughan.
Uh-huh.
I think it's a great book. You know, I love the artwork inside. It's a cool prestige format. Yeah. Isn't that
what it's. I know that name.
Well, you know.
I'm just kidding.
Oh.
Jazz legend.
Sarah Vaughan?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. No. Maybe it's the same person.
Probably.
Yeah.
Maybe a great aunt. Sorry, great niece
great,
or something.
Great niece.
Cool. Dead Man, Dark Mansion of Forbidden Love. Looks really cool. Check that out
now,
at the local comic book shop.
In high contrast to that, we now have Harley Quinn number 9.
Number 9.
And it looks like. It looks like Harley Quinn has gone to the land of the Wizard of Oz.
Oh.
Are you even paying attention?
No, I am.
Yeah, okay.
So, Harley Quinn, you perplexed me because that doesn't make sense.
I know. But it looks like she's tripping out or something here.
Oh, I
think she actually had some bad weed or something. But
that was Alice in Wonderland.
It's, I think she actually drank too much. But anyways,
I think that was mushrooms.
But I do like the imagery in this book. It's as if Harley Quinn plays Dorothy kind of thing. But I also like Dorothy. I like the cover. So on the cover we've got Frank Cho.
And he has her
throwing a brick from the Yellow Brick Road.
A Yellow Brick Road.
Now,
yeah.
Walt. Well, yeah. here's some comic book history for you.
Uh-huh.
There's another comic book character which is famous for throwing a brick.
Another comic book character is famous for throwing a brick.
Correct.
Is it female or male?
Well,
it'd help if you knew it too, wouldn't it? I'm gonna say Joe DiMaggio.
Well, I'm gonna say. Have you ever heard of Crazy Cat?
Yeah.
So George Harriman's Crazy Cat.
Like 40s?
From the 1940s. Yeah. There was Crazy Cat and there was this little mouse, Ignatz, and uh-huh. Usually one of them was throwing a brick at each other.
Oh, that's like 1930s.
1930s, 20s. 1940s. Yeah. So I don't know if this is sort of an homage, a small homage to that kind of thing. But I thought it was a very interesting thing that, you know, we have Harley Quinn throwing a golden brick at the reader sort of thing.
Right on. Very cool. Harley Quinn, number nine.
Number nine.
At your local comic
book. Number nine. Next up, we've got Batman, I Am Suicide. So Batman number 12, this is the storyline, I Am Suicide, part 4. So I think what they're doing up here is they're leading into the whole, there's going to be a giant Justice League / Suicide Squad fight coming up soon.
Oh, yeah?
In February, or soon.
Wait a minute, so the Justice League... Against the Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. So I think this is sort of leading up to that.
They should make a movie about that.
They should. That'd be a good idea.
I Am Suicide, Batman number 12, available at your local comic book shop.
Yeah. And then finally we have, I thought I'd give us an old throwback here. So this one is by Dynamite again, but also from King Features, because it's Flash Gordon King's Cross.
Oh, nice.
So, and this is a Flash Gordon comic, and it's kind of drawn, and the cover is reminiscent to the old Flash Gordon by King Features back from way back in the day.
Oh, right on. Very cool. Flash Gordon King's Cross, number 2 from Dynamite.
From Jeff Parker is the writer and artist.
You and I have talked about this many times. It's like Flash Gordon must be what, public domain or something?
I don't think it is. I think it's actually a King Features comic still.
But they have a whole bunch of characters.
Oh yeah, it's got the Phantom and the old King's Features. Yeah,
very cool. Yeah. I think Mandrake probably.
Mandrake the Magician.
Yeah, the Magician is in here too. So that's very, very cool.
Yeah.
So
neat book. I like it.
Yeah, King's Cross. Flash Gordon number 2. Is that it, Chris?
That's all I got for today.
So that's just a small smattering, of course. Just head into your local comic book shop and check out all the new this week's.
All right, let's have a quick musical interlude here. Let's, you know what? I got a hankering for some, for a little bit of the usual Krantz.
Hit me,
Chris. All right, let's hear it. Let's hear what they got to say for the old Krantz department. There it is.
Sweet stuff, Chris. I love it. Hey, listen, that takes us to industry news. And industry news is brought to you by your local comic book shop. Christmas at your local comic book shop, actually. Your local comic book shop does Christmas right.
They really do. They really do. Yeah, I totally agree with that.
All right, so head into and support your local comic book shop at Christmas is our point.
Perfect. All right.
All right, Chris, let's talk about... Stan Lee.
Stan Lee. This is Stan Lee.
This is Stan Lee. And I got another gimmick.
What's his gimmick this time?
You know this. I don't understand it very well, but this these boxes that come, these like loot crate type.
Oh, okay, thing. Right. So for those of you who aren't familiar with what a loot crate is, basically it's like Christmas in the mail every month or every 2 months.
Yeah.
So you subscribe to this service that gives a whole bunch of nerd stuff into a box, and they send
it
to you.
You
don't know what it is. Once a month you get it, or you know, this new one is going to be once every 2 months.
Right.
But you get a box full of stuff,
and it's usually themed.
It's usually themed. Sometimes they say it has a value greater than what you're actually getting.
Right.
It has,
if you bought all the items at retail,
that's right. Yes.
Then you're saving over 50% normally.
Right.
By getting the loot crate.
Now sometimes it has exclusive items that you can't find anywhere else.
Right.
So,
and sometimes, especially with a loot crate, which I believe is the biggest player in the market, they'll get companies to practically give them stuff.
Right. Right.
Know, so they're making a killing.
That's right.
Because
they're not paying for it. Yeah.
It's a way for a company to reach. You know, it could be 100,000 people, 200,000 people, way more than you know they may reach. Let's say. At your local comic book
right,
shop.
Right, right, absolutely.
Through a diamond catalog or something.
Yeah, and they,
like
you know, and sometimes they give them stuff to kind of like get things started, right? So they'll give
that's
like,
what
you
I
know,
mean.
Yeah.
So a company maybe launching something may want to do it through a loot crate or
that's
something
right.
like that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So Stan, what's he done? He's went through a company called Box Boulevard.
Box Boulevard, yep. And
it's the official Stan Lee box.
That's right, yep.
So what's in there, Chris?
So, okay, so basically the box is going to be full of exclusive. Comic variants from major publishers, limited edition items, collectible figures, licensed artwork, and other geeky goods, as they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Each box will include a story that ties the products together.
Yeah.
For example, the first box is themed, "It's the most marvelous time of the year."
So it's the most marvelous time
of the year. So I'm assuming it's going to be something to do with Christmas and Marvel and,
yeah.
You know. So it's going to include, it says here, this one will include items that represent the past, present, and future of Stan Lee. So the thing is, so basically.
Well, there's a quote from Stan.
Oh, sorry.
I believe we have the sound clip. Can you hit it?
Sure.
"I'm really thrilled to deliver a true collector's box of my favorite things every 8 weeks to my treasured fans. Excelsior."
There's a little bit more. Hold on, let me hit the button for the second part.
The,
yeah.
"The Stan Lee box will have a variety of premium quality products inside each box for all my true believers."
How did we get that? We must have. I think we called Stan earlier.
Well,
today.
No, actually, we got Harry Carey to impersonate.
Oh,
Stan
nice,
later.
Nice, nice. Okay.
Okay.
So basically, there's going to be a bi-monthly subscription plan. So for $50, $49.99 per box, every 2 months, you're going to get a box full of stuff that is apparently containing $125 worth of retail priced content.
For a low price of $50?
For $50.
That's a steal.
It's a
Chris.
Steal at any price.
My gosh.
Or if you wish to sign on for an entire year, because you can cancel your subscription at any time.
At any time.
If you wish to cancel or if you wish to sign up for a full year,
uh-huh.
You save $5 and you can do it for $45, $44.99
per crate. Per box.
Yeah.
Per box. That is wonderful.
Now,
so,
apparently, this whole loot crate thing, box thing, is a big deal.
It is.
Apparently, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's Loot Crate has over 650,000 subscribers.
That's nuts.
That's nuts.
That's
nuts. To sell anything,
yeah.
Let alone a box full of stuff that you don't know what you're gonna get.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's what it is.
Yeah.
You could get, towels or toothbrush.
I think the way Loot Crate, from what I understood before, I think the way Loot Crate does it is like we talked about before, like one thing could be like a Pokemon theme, and the other one could be like a, Stan Lee theme.
Stan Lee theme. Imagine if you got a whole box full of Stan Lee figurines.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Like of actual Stan
Lee? Of actual Stan Lee, yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Like you get a Lego one,
yeah.
You get a Mego one.
Yeah, that's right. Or just the same, even the same kind, but in all different poses, different years.
Right.
You get like 70s Stan Lee.
I want the one where he's got that button-down shirt down to his navel.
Yeah,
he's got 70s with the huge lapel.
Yeah.
He's got that mustache going.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, Swinging Stan.
Swinging Stan.
That's
the one
I was going.
Yeah,
very cool. So I don't know where you go. I guess it would be Boxboulevard.com.
Look up official Stanley Box.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a joke in there somewhere.
I'm sure there is. Anyways. Very cool. All right, let's move on to something even more exciting, if that's possible.
strange, perhaps?
Amy Schumer.
Comedienne.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's going to star as Barbie.
I can't see it, but apparently it's happening. So Amy Schumer is in negotiations to star as Barbie in a film slated for 2018. Here's the basic script is that Barbie is forced from Barbie Land because she doesn't fit the mold and has an adventure in the real world, returns to Barbie Land to save it from, you know, the fact that, you know, it's not important for everything to be perfect all the time.
Right. So she brings in fast food.
And yeah. It's okay to, you know, eat and things like that.
It's okay to be normal.
Normal.
It's okay to have blemishes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's okay to have a little scuff on the thigh.
On the thigh.
Of the Barbie doll.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. I don't like where this is going. I better stop.
Let's stop now. So apparently, Mattel. Uh-huh. And Barbie, I guess Mattel is trying to rebrand Barbie a little bit to stop being so perfect all the time. They're trying to get away from the single standard of perfection that they're offering Barbie dolls now in four different body types with multiple skin tones and hair options.
Right.
And, you know, which makes sense, right? Like, you know, it's time to become multicultural and not just multicultural, but it's time to accept all different body types from all different facets of life.
Yep.
You know,
that's fantastic.
Yep.
You want to be all inclusive and you want the kids to relate to the things that they're playing with and buying and stuff, right? You know what I mean?
So exactly.
I mean, I don't like, would you say Barbie? I mean, Barbie obviously, Chris, is like, you know, an iconic 20th century. She probably came out in the 50s or 60s.
I think the 50s, maybe late 50s, early 60s,
And so she's like an iconic, she's been around a long time.
Right,
like
she's
an iconic fixture in Americana pop culture and stuff like that. And when I read that, I go, you know what? I go, if Barbie has anything, it's staying power.
Right.
And being kind of a comic book show, I don't know why I thought of this.
Okay.
But I thought I would kind of quiz you on something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Semi-related.
On Barbie?
Well, it's inspired by Barbie.
Inspired
by Barbie's longevity.
Oh, okay.
The
old
gal's hanging in.
Right. Okay.
So I was wondering if you knew.
Oh, dear. Here we go.
If you could name me, I have a list here.
Oh dear. Okay. Yeah.
Of the single, like the comic character, the comic titles.
Yep.
It's just for the one female. It's a headlining comic
by a female.
Basically, by a female.
Okay.
And I wanted to ask you what would be the longest? You know, it could be defunct 10 years ago, 30 years ago.
Yep.
Which female character had the longest run comic books?
Okay. Let me.
Like, which female character?
Okay. Let me. I'm gonna start by saying Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman was number one.
Okay.
She had a run of 329 issues.
Wow.
From 1942 to 1986. She was by far the longest. This one's super, super hard.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you number two.
Let me try.
She's still going.
Okay. Is it...
Small press, and she's still going.
Is it... like Betty and Veronica?
No.
It's still going, and small press?
Yeah.
Is it a comic book or comic strip?
I think it's a strip.
Okay.
But it's a book. It's by Antarctic Press. The character's
Antarctic
called
Press.
Gold Digger.
Gold Digger. Oh, that's really. I know that character. Yeah.
Yeah, 236 issues.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And she's from 1999 till present. She's the only one on this list that's still going. Obviously, there are a lot that are still going.
Okay.
Now, the number three longest running series by a female character is a trick question.
Okay. So is it a trick question because it's two people?
No, it's a trick question because it's one person.
Okay.
But you may have already said it.
Oh, is it Betty or Veronica?
No, Wonder Woman.
Oh, what? What?
Yeah, her 1987 run.
Oh, I see.
Lasted
what you're saying.
Until 2016 or whenever
right.
it was.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
She lasted 228 issues.
Okay, right.
And not to bore the listeners with having you guess the other ones because they're hard.
Okay, well, let me just ask you. Let me see if I can guess.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to go with Millie the Model.
The Model is on there.
Okay.
She lasted 207 issues from 1945 to 1973.
Nice.
You mentioned a couple other ones already.
Betty and Veronica.
Betty lasted 195. Five issues. Veronica's title lasted 210 issues.
Nice. What about what is it? Patsy Walker. Patsy Walker. Yep.
Good for you. Lasted 124 issues.
Yeah. Okay. What about was there a Hetty?
No, there was, but she not on.
Didn't
the
last.
List.
Okay.
Two of them would have been kind of more.
Oh, what about Blondie?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
She was there too. One is in the superhero genre.
Oh.
One would be a compatriot of Wonder Woman, and would
a compatriot of Wonder Woman.
Well, she'd maybe have the same circle of friends.
Oh.
Even though she didn't have superpowers.
Oh, Batgirl.
But no. She hung around.
Oracle, Batgirl,
the Man of Steel.
Oh, Lois Lane, right.
And then rounding off the list is Witchblade,
Little Dot,
and Little Lulu.
Little Dot, Little Lulu.
Cool.
Nice,
anyway,
very cool. I like
thought
that.
You did very well, by the way.
Thank you.
Really cool.
Yeah,
you did
thank
really
you.
Well.
Thank you.
All right.
Do we want to have a quick musical interlude?
Yeah,
here?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's.
You've earned it, Chris.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Let's have a quick musical interlude here. This one's called The Library of Gorth. All right. Have you ever heard that one before?
Chris, but I want to study in that library.
Yeah, no kidding, eh? I hear that.
Industry News Part 2. It's brought to you by James Brown Christmas, the best Christmas CD ever. I heard exclusively at Bigby Comics through December.
No, good for you.
Maybe not exclusively.
But, maybe not exclusively.
It takes us into this cool thing about that speaks, I think, volumes on... You know, the accessibility of graphic novels and the viability and the stories that they can tell. There is a Self-Made Hero, which is a publisher, I guess.
Okay.
Has announced for 2017 in the spring that they're going to do graphic biographies of the likes of Josephine Baker.
Okay.
David Bowie.
Oh, interesting.
And Gauguin.
Now,
the artist.
Now, okay, so hold on. I took a quick look at this.
Yes.
They're having the graphic biographies of Josephine Baker, David Bowie,
uh-huh.
Gauguin,
yeah.
And the history of the crossword puzzle.
And the history of the crossword puzzle, yes.
So,
yes. Because...
So, I'm curious as to what that...
Yeah, how'd that got in there?
Yeah, how did that get in there? Yeah.
I know. Pretty cool, though. I mean, I don't know. I mean, the thing that worries me is how many people are going to be picking up Josephine Baker's...
wasn't she a flapper in the 1920s or something
like
that?
Yeah, I think she went to Paris or something like that. You know, she was like an American.
Yeah.
And she went to Paris and she made her name there and that kind of stuff.
Something
so,
like that.
Pretty cool, I guess. I mean, for history buffs.
Yeah.
Would you say... I don't know. Like, okay, here's the thing.
Oh, here's the thing.
You know, you wanna study history,
right?
You wanna learn about these things. Usually, people jump on Google and stuff like that, and everything like that. But maybe you like, you know, learning about Josephine Baker through a graphic novel is an easy and effective way to learn about somebody that.
You know. It's awesome.
So I don't know. I mean,
okay, but hold on a second here. Yeah. I don't have a problem with this.
Uh-huh.
Other than the fact, did you see here that it's a 496 page black and white paperback?
Woo!
For the history of Josephine Baker? 496 pages.
That's a lot of pirouetting and dancing. telling you that much.
That's a lot of wine and cheese, let me tell you.
Goodness.
Holy cow.
Well, they're obviously
serious.
Going for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what I said about having a quick read about Josephine Baker?
but hold on. It's still only $23.
Yeah.
Still a great price. Now,
that's pretty good.
Now, okay, so hold on. So then we go to Haddon Hall when David invented Bowie. I say.
So I guess David Bowie and his girlfriend hung out some Victorian villa in the drug induced hippie days
right.
of 1969, and that's where David Bowie probably had his epiphany of
who he wants to be
and all that kind of stuff. And
I
guess that's the story being told there.
Now that one's only 144 pages, so you know what.
Well, you know, if that's a hit, though, the next phase of Bowie's coming.
That's right. That's true. Yeah.
And all that stuff. So that's, I don't know. It's cool. It's a cool approach. I mean, I wish these guys really well. I want this stuff to work.
I hope it does.
A feeling that these kind of books might sell also at bookstores.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And,
well, it's a very, you know, this is really going to depend on the storytelling. Not that all books don't, but this one's really going to depend on the storytelling and the style of graphic novel that it is. Because it has to be very approachable for a lot of people that don't.
But you gotta think that them as a publisher are aware. Like, okay, you know, up here in Canada, we got Chapters, right?
Right.
That's the big store. Now, when you go into a Chapters,
yep.
You got your new, where you got your Daniel Steeles. Maybe she's not new, but you got all the new authors, the hot stuff, all the
new, like Daniel Steele.
I don't know. I'm just saying. Okay. I'm just saying all the bestsellers,
sure.
and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then you may have your kids section. Then you may have your cookbook section. Then you may have probably the least frequented. It's probably the biography section
probably, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
So it's not like these guys aren't going in eyes wide open.
No.
Like biographies are tough sells to
begin
with.
Absolutely, yes.
Right?
Yes.
I'm sure that, I guess my point is, I'm sure they have a plan.
Right.
Maybe they don't, but I don't know. But it seems like a first salvo for them. So if this stuff works, I'm sure they're going to plan
more. Part of the saving grace is the price. The price is right. I mean, as Bob Barker would say, Price is Right. It's a great idea. I'm not too sure about the thickness of the Josephine Baker book.
Right.
However, I think the other ones would probably be fine.
Right.
I mean, actually, as much as I kind of make fun of it, I think the idea of this crossword puzzle history of crosswords is kind of interesting.
Yeah, that would probably be a cool read.
Because I like the title. It's called Fun, Spies, Puzzle Lovers, and a Century of Crosswords. So, spies and all that, how they got, history of crosswords and all that. Yeah, it sounds great.
All right. Well, you know what? I think these guys, self-made hero, are onto something because they've obviously caught the attention of a lot of people in different industries.
Oh, well, I'm sure they have,
And I have a contact in Montreal.
Okay, yeah.
And he sent me some, it's like an inside scoop. It's not even out on the media.
Oh, right, okay.
But just for laughs. Comedy festival.
Comedy show, yeah.
They're coming out with a series of graphic novels on legendary comedians.
Oh, nice. I would buy some of those.
Yeah, well, I have a list of a couple of them they're working on
right now. Who are they?
The first one was called My Life as a Dick.
Oh.
The Story of Don Rickles.
Right.
Swing It, Baby is going to be the story, the graphic novel of Ruth Buzzy.
So, I gotta love Ruth Buzzy. She did have that That whole purse thing and hairnet. And
Ruth, but she had a look, that's for sure.
Yeah, she sure did.
Let me see what else they have, Chris. I think that might have been the best one.
Ruth Buzzy.
Ruth Buzzy. This one, here's a good one. Topical for us as a show. Graphic novel titled Feldstein Stole My Thunder by Shecky Green.
Oh, well, that does happen. Yeah, yeah.
What else we got? We got Something's Fishy Going On Around Here. The Life Story of Abe Vigoda.
Oh. fish. I like that.
What else we got? We got another graphic novel. Working title is Sorry, Sir, The Kitchen Just Closed. The Red Button Story.
Oh, Red Button. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Did you come up with that title for them, for the book company? Did you have any help with that?
Not at all. This is emailed.
All right. I'm just saying, it's...
And the last one they have, they're working. They're really confident in this one. This one's called, the working title is Hook, Line, and Sinker, The Jimmy Durante Story.
Good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
Ha-cha-cha.
Ha-cha-cha.
I think graphic novel treatment of the life stories, I think, is a trend to come.
Right. I like that. All right.
All right. So do we have a musical interlude?
Another one already? Yeah, we can dive into that. For sure we can. Coming, yeah. Chris. Okay, hold on. The engineer wasn't quite ready yet, so hold on a second here.
He was just getting ready to be ready.
He was just getting ready to be ready. Okay, here we go. This one's called Atlantis History.
What's that one called?
That one was called Atlantis History.
Atlantis History.
Yes. Hey, you know what? This is completely off topic. But did you see that if you go to comicbookdaily.com and scroll down to a camera, I think it was from 2 weeks ago, the comic book culture, podcast.
Yeah.
Danny Champ.
I say.
He actually posted the link for his Kickstarter campaign.
Oh, that's right.
So we need to.
That's right, because a couple weeks ago he sponsored. He paid.
He's paid.
The poor kid. Paid. He came up with the quid.
Yes. Yeah, so
he paid for a whole. Yeah. A show's worth of sponsorships, but we didn't know to send them.
No. So we need. So he sent the link to Comic Book Daily.
Uh-huh.
So if you're interested in going to the Kickstarter and helping the guy out with Sci My Lie. Uh-huh. I believe is what it's called. I don't remember off the top of my head. But anyways, the Sci My Lie. If you take a look at that, you can help the guy out. Take a look at his art. Really cool artwork. Really cool stuff for good old Danny Champ.
Good old Danny Champ. All right. Chris, let's.
You know what? I still want to continue about comics here.
Okay.
I do love comics, but hold on.
I have to have a sponsor. For
oh, sorry, comics. Sorry.
You can't
sorry.
Just talk about comics that.
But I like that. Right. I like doing that.
Hey, this segment of comic culture is brought to you by Sci My Lie. Danny Champ's brilliant new work. Check it out.
If that's what it's called.
You're on your own, but just check it out in terms of finding it.
Find it in Kickstarter.
This is how you find it. You go to a show a few weeks ago. We don't even know the date. You scroll down, and then you find a link, and then you go pay.
We're going to be hearing about this one.
Right.
From you know who. All right, listen. I want to talk about comics and movies because the new Guardians of the Galaxy trailer is up. So Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
I have not watched this trailer.
I have watched bits and pieces of it because I don't want to spoil too much.
Right.
However, there are some new key characters. Can I mention them? At least one new key character.
Okay, spoiler alert. Beep, boop, boop,
beep, boop. So,
spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Dive, dive.
Anyways, character Mantis.
Mantis
is in the character. Sorry.
I don't think they were ready. They didn't have enough time.
I think they had plenty of time.
Okay.
Mantis is one of the big characters in the.
That's. Don't tell me. Don't tell me.
Okay. I won't.
Avengers number 112.
Oh, you know what? Let's just Google that. Let's just Google that quickly here.
I'm pretty sure. First appearance of Mantis comic books. Avengers number 112. That would have been a Bronze Age book, probably. I'm guessing, 1973.
Okay, let's just see. Let's just see where you are. So, what did you say again?
Avengers 112, 1973.
You know what? There's a reason why you are an Overstreet Price Guide advisor.
That is
exactly what it is.
Right on.
Yeah. Okay, so now hold on. So Mantis is coming out as a character for Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah.
Is this a book now that people should be going back and trying to speculate on?
I think people were speculating on her about a year or two ago. I think it's going to spike now that this has happened even more, but the book has already made a move forward.
Right.
Back when, believe it or not, the way the comic book collecting community was, they were specking on any great female character starting a few years ago and just scooping up all of them.
Right.
And Mantis was just prime candidate. What's the other one that came?
Gamora?
No. Came, it's not a Gamora. No, that's the wrong one. Sorry.
What was that?
No, it's not a tumor, but I thought Gamora was a tumor.
Oh, right, okay.
But it didn't. As soon as I said it, Chris, I knew it was wrong, but it was too late.
Yeah.
What's the one Avengers 144? Hellcat.
Hellcat, yeah. Right.
That's another female character that was heavily speculated on.
Right,
and who we mentioned before, she actually was Patsy Walker.
Right, Patsy Walker. And now
who had
Patsy,
a long run
that's
on her own.
Yep, right. That's right.
So that's cool. So... Now let me. So this Guardians is the Marvel project for Free Comic Book Day. You know. Traditionally,
this one's
the
coming
Free
out.
Comic Book Day release in the first weekend of May every year.
That's
it's
right.
Kind of like that iconic now Marvel mainstay of a movie release.
That's right. Yeah, this one's coming out May 5th, 2017.
Yeah, May 5th, 2017.
Yeah,
I like it. I'm hoping for really, really good things. You know what I hope they don't do, Chris?
What's that?
Okay, I'm going to sound so wrong.
Oh, here we go.
I hope they don't... Like, I think a surprise part of the hit of the last movie...
Yeah.
I think the last movie happened organically and for fun.
Yeah.
And they threw stuff in, and it was just all fun and organic and stuff like that. And then there were some surprise aspects of it that really worked.
Like what's that?
Like the tape. The
music?
Tape,
mixtape. Yeah, yeah.
I hope they don't now go just overthink the mixtape and over-glorify the mixtape part of it.
Music.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree with that. Yeah,
right?
That could
I think the mixtape thing was an accident. Not necessarily an accident. I'm sure they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
But the response from the public
was awesome.
Yeah. Right?
I know. I can see it becoming a big thing because, you know, at the end of that movie, he gets mixtape number two.
Right.
Right. So now it could be the.
I know. I'm just worried that they're going to over.
I know.
Gonna, you
I
know it's going to be a. Can you imagine, Chris? If Marvel, you know, secretly opened up a bidding war.
For
old Atlantic Records and old you know bands. Oh, so you want to be in Galaxy 2.
Wouldn't surprise me.
What do I bid?
What
do I bid to get your crap music onto this CD?
This great great soundtrack, yeah.
But that's cool. I like it. Yeah. I think I'm looking forward to that movie. I think I'm looking forward to that movie because the first one was such a surprise.
Yeah, I liked the first movie. I thought it was fun.
All right.
So now, hold on a second. Speaking of movies... You know what? More importantly, not that Guardians of the Galaxy isn't an important movie.
Mm-hmm.
However, but in the next week and a half,
right,
we have a very important movie coming out. And that is Star Wars Rogue One.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. Now, so, what did you... We talked about there for the Star Wars that came out earlier, like this year. Was it last year?
It was around the same time last year.
Right.
Yeah. So Christmas time last year.
Did you like it?
I loved it. That was great. Yeah. Did you see it?
I saw it. I liked it.
Yeah, I liked
thought it.
It
was... I thought it was kind of like the first one.
It was very similar. You know, that's a tough movie, tough act to follow, yeah. Right? So they had to somehow appeal to... all us old guys,
yeah.
As well as appealing to a new generation of right. fans. So how do they do it? Well, they basically remade the first Star Wars movie and updated it and all those kinds of things.
Right,
but
right.
It was a great movie, don't get me
and
wrong.
And we didn't, as fans, we didn't mind, right?
I didn't mind. No, it was great.
Yeah,
it was well done. Yeah, give me more. Yeah, that's
so,
right.
That's good.
Now Walt, right. I know your Star Wars knowledge isn't the greatest, but I've compiled...
What are you talking about?
Well... I know it's good. I know it's good, but it's not great.
I'm about to prove you right.
I mean wrong. I have a quiz for you.
All right.
I have a quiz for you.
I can tell.
All right. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions here.
All right. Just a couple.
Some of them are very difficult. Uh-huh. Some of them are a little easier.
On a difficulty scale, would you say they're 1 to 10, 10 being the most difficult? What would you say the difficult ones are?
I would say probably about a 9.
Right.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to do right now is stall.
I get that. Uh-huh. I get that. Did he speak with a lisp? Yeah. Yeah. So,
all right.
Listen. Okay, the first one, I'm going to start off with an easy one.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's a lot of
pressure. Lando Calrissian.
Lando Calrissian.
Right.
That's the land of Calrissian.
It's Land of Calrissian, mm-hmm. played by Billy Dee Williams.
Billy Dee Williams.
Now, Billy Dee Williams also was a spokesperson for an alcoholic beverage back in the 80s. What was that alcoholic beverage?
Damn. Okay, you got to give me a hint.
I don't know if I can. If I give you a hint, you might just get it.
Well, no. It's either one of three types of alcoholic beverages.
So it's
either a spirit, a wine, or a brew.
It's a brew.
Schlitz malt liquor. Colt 45.
Yes, that's the one.
Yes,
that's
sir.
The one.
Colt 45.
That's
45.
Right.
What was I thinking?
Yeah. Right. Very good. See, I knew you'd get it. Get that one. Good for you.
All right.
Now. Gonna go to
I got my blood pumping.
Yeah, now.
I feel like I'm going to answer all of these now.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'm going to go to a little bit harder question.
Oh.
Go to the easier one first.
Go to the easier one first. Build my confidence.
And then
just shatter me.
What is the
on
name?
Rocks.
And what is the name of the gangster that puts a bounty on Han Solo's head?
Gangster.
He's like the Don of the Star Wars universe.
He sends Boba Fett out to get him.
Right.
Right?
Right. Or Boba Fett.
Huh?
Boba Fett.
No, that's not him.
It's pronounced Boba Fett, not Boba Fett. Boba Fett.
Oh, Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would have been... I know this guy.
Okay. Yeah.
Jabba the Hutt.
So close.
Jabba the Hutt. Jabba.
You were right the first time, but Jabba the Hutt.
Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah, see? Good for you.
I like it.
See, I knew you could do
it. I'm gold.
Right.
He was the really big guy.
He was the slug-looking guy.
Yeah,
that's right.
He's the one that had a thing, had a Jones on for Leia.
Yeah, that's right. He had her tied up in a big brass bikini.
Shame on him.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Keep going.
Okay, so good for you.
As you can see... I'm well versed in Star Wars.
Yeah, probably I can see that.
I can see that.
You're doing a very good job.
Uh-huh.
Now, in Jabba's, I'll call it
palace.
Yeah, he had a right hand man.
He had a right hand man.
He had a white skin. What was his name?
Ed McMahon.
Yeah. Good one, Johnny. Bib Fortuna.
Who?
Bib Fortuna was
Bib
his name.
Bib Fortuna.
Yes.
Oh man,
you need. Like, it's almost like you need to have a bib Fortuna. Like when you want to eat.
Oh, I get it. I missed that.
The first time. Actually, I just thought of that now. Anyways,
that's probably they thought of that too.
Okay.
I got that one wrong.
Okay.
I think Ed McMahon might have worked better though.
I agree. I got two more questions for you.
Right.
Two more questions. Now, in 1978,
I'm hanging on by a thread here. I'm up.
I know. 1978, there was actually a Star Wars Christmas special put out On TV. George Lucas never allowed it to be seen again, but there are copies of it around.
Wait a minute. It actually aired?
It actually aired on TV.
Uh-huh.
It was called the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Right.
And in this holiday special, they talked about, it was all on the Wookiee planet of Kashyyyk, right. Of Chewbacca's home planet. But how does he sound again? That's very good, yeah.
That's so, Merry Christmas, by the way, in Wookiee.
Yeah, that's right. So
you know what this one is? Pour me another one.
Okay. So there was a holiday special, and it only aired once, uh-huh. And never again. In this holiday special, we got to see Chewbacca's family. So he had a wife,
uh-huh.
A son, and a father.
Father. Uh-huh.
What was his son's name?
That's so evil, Chris. You're evil. Okay, would have been Cud. Cuddy?
I don't know.
Chewy and Cuddy?
No.
Do I get a hint? Would I know this?
You know what? I'll give you a couple hints, though.
I got it. Yeti.
No.
I give up.
Lumpy. And his grandfather's name was Itchy.
Oh, hey, I'm afraid to ask what the wife's name was.
Mala.
Hey-o!
His name, wife's name was Mala.
Mala.
Yeah.
Which is means in Slavic languages, yeah. It means small.
Oh, really?
And in romantic languages, it means sick.
No, so small sick.
Right, whatever.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
All right, so there you go. Let's.
So I did all right. Isn't there another one? I thought you had one more.
Oh, did I say I had one more? Yeah. Oh, sorry. Okay. So what else have I got here? Let me go.
This Chris is the tiebreaker.
Let me go through all my papers here.
This is the tiebreaker because I'm 2 for 4.
All right.
I could swing left or I could swing right.
Okay. So you know what? I'm gonna throw an easy one at you here. Easy.
I'll make it too easy.
Well, easy for you.
All right.
Okay.
Old man.
So
easy
all,
for you.
We all know that. David Prowse was actually the actor who played Darth Vader.
Right.
But who played
We met David Prowse, by the way. We didn't meet him. We walked by
his table. I met him once. Yeah, he's a nice guy.
He was at the Hamilton Comic Con this past fall.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Right.
So David...
His son was there. I'm stalling here because I'm trying
to see that. Yeah.
His son was there helping him out.
Oh, that's nice.
His son was tall.
Yeah.
Good-looking young guy.
Well, they're both tall.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. David Prowse is also... Okay, so David Prowse, who played Darth Vader, what famous movie by Stanley Kubrick did David Prowse play a bodybuilder?
I'm so disappointed because I thought you were going to say who was the voice of
Vader. Who was the voice of Darth Vader?
He was Thothamon.
Who?
The guy.
Oh, from Conan.
James Earl Jones.
Yeah, James Earl Jones.
Oh, I had that one. I was so excited.
I know. I was going to ask
you that. Can that count?
Sure. That'll count.
What was your
question? Tell you what. I'll make that one the real question, but then right. The other one is my
just
side
bonus
question.
Yeah, my side question.
My bonus question is, what Stanley Kubrick film did David Prowse play a bodybuilder and bodyguard?
A bodybuilder and a bodyguard in a Stanley Kubrick film.
Yeah.
This would have been early because Prowse is a little bit older.
Yep.
A bodybuilder and a bodyguard.
Well, mainly a bodyguard, but you can see him working out in the movie.
1970s?
Yep.
Clockwork Orange.
Good. Hey!
Oh,
right
on.
Well done, my
nice.
Friend. Well done. All right. You know what? Let's have a quick musical interlude to celebrate your success.
Brilliant.
At my Star Wars trivia. All right. Let's go with the bugle. All right. Let's hear how that one sounds.
Thank you.
Well, that was a quick one. Sorry. Chris.
Should be used to those.
Hey-o. Where's Ed McMahon when you need him?
You know, Ed McMahon's my new favorite AO guy. Hey, Chris, Comic Culture Part Last.
Part the Last.
Is brought to you by the Spirit of Christmas.
Spirit of Christmas.
Please share and spread the love at this festive time of year.
Oh, Festivus. Festivus for the rest of us.
I had a beautiful thing happen to me, and it's going to happen a lot this December, but at Hortons there, my coffee was paid for.
Oh, very nice. So now you're supposed to pay it forward.
I did.
Okay, good for you. Yeah, good for you.
Said, I go, what's that schmo behind me having?
Is it a small regular?
It is a small.
If that's what all it is, I'll pay for it. But any more than that, I'm out.
Yeah. So that was nice. But anyway, like I said, this is the time of year. Everybody's feeling good. Everybody's in a generous mood. But not only a generous mood, but a forgiving mood and a tolerant mood, which is really important.
So here's what I think we should do, Walt. I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here.
Sure.
But in the spirit of giving, I'm going to say, so we have three more shows before the end of the season, I'll call it.
Right.
So today, I think we should talk about what do you get for the comic collector who has everything?
Oh,
right?
That's a good point.
There are a lot of people out there who are listening who they have friends and colleagues and or wives and husbands that collect, and they don't know what to get them because they don't want to look stupid.
What I like, what I've always kind of... And with the demographics now, it's a lot easier now than it was when I started out in the business. When I started out in the business,
back in my day,
easy at all.
Yeah.
But you can't go, like, let's say a guy's a Spider-Man fan or a Batman fan.
Right.
You can't go now and buy them a nostalgia piece, per se, because you don't know. Well, you might know their favorite villain. You might know their stuff. But it's hard because a lot of those books have value and you're not sure and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
What I recommend is they're called like date mementos.
Date mementos. Date mementos. Okay.
Like you got a Spider-Man fan.
Okay.
And he or she was born March 1981.
Right.
You get them the March 1981.
Oh, Amazing interesting. Spider-Man. Oh, I like you that. I mean? Okay, yeah.
You're a couple. Your husband loves, or your wife loves Harley Quinn.
Yeah, yeah.
And you guys got married in May of 2004.
Okay.
You get him or her the May of 2004 issue of Harley Quinn.
Right.
And those are great. Those are really... They're thoughtful in both ways.
I like it.
Not both ways, in many ways. Obviously, the two main ways are it has personal meaning in terms of the cover date.
Yep.
And a lot of those comics in that era had the date on them. Most of them had the month.
Right.
But some of them also had the year.
Right.
Especially DC
in
the 80s and 90s. And those are really cool.
I like it.
We recommend that at our shop.
That's a great idea. Right? Yeah, I like that a lot.
So,
perfect.
I don't know. What's the... okay, you're a comic book fan. Through your life, you have had many friends, acquaintances, family members buy you some cool little token of appreciation as a gift.
Yeah, that's right.
What are some cool gift type of things that related to superheroes that you've received that maybe you can pass on as an example of what you really liked as a fan receiving?
Absolutely. You know, I always like I like pretty much anything. I like things that I can use, so I like the things that I would probably never buy myself, like, for example, like a Thor hammer bottle opener or stuff like that I would never spend the money on myself,
right?
But I'd love to have it around the house because it's just kind of a fun thing to have. But man, like, I can't justify spending $15 on a bottle opener just because it looks like Thor's hammer.
Uh-huh.
But man, it'd be kind of fun to have, but I just can't justify it. So that's the kind of stuff I like, or even just stupid things like magnets where I can stick them on my fridge and I get to see them every day. Again, because they're not the cheapest always, and that's just because they're high quality, right?
Right. You know, and they're licensed products.
And they're licensed products.
That's the key, I think, when people go in that they can buy knockoffs or buy just generic things at a dollar store. But to actually get These companies that make these things have to pay Marvel and DC their licensing and all that kind of stuff. So it brings up the cost. And like you've said, though, too, most of this stuff is pretty well made.
Yes, absolutely. And actually, the last thing I just thought about, we got to hurry up, though. Uh-huh. Last thing I thought about is they now have those comic book boxes that have like licensed images on the themed, boxes, right, or themed. And, you know, even if they're a character I wouldn't even care for, uh-huh, they're so much better looking than those plain white comic boxes. So yeah, I would go with those any day.
You know, you mess guys up is when you put Batman in the Superman box and Superman.
Yeah, right.
All right, is that it?
That's it. That's all the time we have.
All right, listen, comic culture, again, brilliantly engineered by Chris Owen. Check us out. We're always on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station, and we're always also on comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. So please go out and support your local comic book shop.
And have yourself a great day.